How are you?
So far, so good today.
Boy,
still early.
This marketplace story won't go away, will it?
I wish it would. I wish it would just fade into the sunset so we could be proactive and, you know, start the development sometime in 2011. But it's been quite a struggle.
Well, we had Carol Wood, a Lansing City Council member, on the program yesterday. I want you to listen to this, Pat. This is what she had to say to a question I proposed. You know, Carol, a lot of folks were upset about the marketplace deal because they thought that the deal was done. And then in the 11th hour, several council members decided to vote against the plan. What's your take on that?
Well, if you go back to the agreement, and I'm glad you brought that up, Tony, one of the things that was talked about during a committee of a whole meeting back in 2008 was the fact that we had both Bob Tresice, who is the director of the EDC, as well as Brian Anderson, who was then an employee that was looking at, that was working on this, that both said that these incentives that are in here, and it's a quote from Bob, that this development agreement does not obligate you to pass any of the incentives listed. However, what it is stating is that these, if these are not passed to the developer's satisfaction, that he has the right not to close on the property. Pat didn't do his due diligence. He closed on the property before there were votes taken on these issues, before there were things that were discussed out there. The agreement was the agreement to sell. The agreement was not an agreement that we would pass those incentives. We were told repeatedly by that. We even have it on tape with Pat Gillespie making that same statement. He understood that it was part of his responsibility to do his due diligence before closing, and that he had the right not to close if those things weren't done.
You want to react to that, Pat?
I'd like to. A lot of what she says is true. Most of what she said has great validity. She's just leaving out probably the most important parts of the whole last couple weeks, which is convenient. But at the last minute, when the city council attempts to do something that's been deemed illegal by their own attorney and warned not to do it, that doesn't negate the right for me to develop the property. When they add a project labor agreement attachment to the project in the last 5 days before we go to council, how do you cover that in your due diligence? How do you cover an illegal action by a city council in your due diligence? We did the soil borings. We did all of our homework. We did all the things that Carol said we didn't do. But nowhere could we plan that the council would somehow come up with an illegal action to stop the development. So, you know, there's only so many things you can account for when you're doing a development, and that was one of them. And it was last minute, and it was in the last 5 days before the plan went to council. So although, you know, some of her statements were true, she's missing some of the main points. And I did hear her comments prior to that yesterday that said how we're taking money from the city in these tax abatements. They aren't tax abatements. The city had that piece of property hasn't paid taxes in over 90 years. It was a city market owned by the city, so it paid zero taxes. So if we start paying $500,000 a year in taxes, and we get a small portion or a decent-sized portion of that back every year to help us recoup the money we spend on environmental cleanup, how is that taking money from the city?
So what you're saying is actually at a property that was earning $0 for the city, even though there is not going to be the total amount that would be made because of the incentives that you're receiving, they're still receiving far and above monies that they wouldn't have got in the first place.
Well, I don't know. You tell me. It's a simple math problem. You've been receiving $0 a year for the last 90 years. Now you're going to receive $500,000 a year. How are you going backwards?
Pat, let me ask you this. She, and I'm referring to Carol Wood, talked about how the deal really wasn't done because the committee hadn't, the council hadn't had an opportunity to meet and finalize the deal, if you will, as far as all the arrangements. Is that true? Should that have been done before you closed on the property?
Well, I don't know if it was possible to finalize all the arrangements. There's certain things you can and cannot do it, you know, timing-wise, as far as environmental and testing and stuff with the DEQ. So I mean, you can do as much due diligence as allowed, and, you know, as time allows, and certain stages. So all of that was done up until it needed to be done, and, you know, you just can't account for everything. You can't account for, you know, last-minute things being thrown at the deal. So we feel the due diligence was adequately done, and when you buy a piece of property from a municipality that says, hey, spend $1.6 million on this piece of property, we know that it's heavily contaminated because of the test we're giving you, we're telling you that, and the test you did, and we're going to allow you to use the tools that the state of Michigan allows us to use to help you clean up that property moving forward. You just, I guess, assume that that's going to happen when someone sells you a piece of dirt that's environmentally contaminated, that they will just do what they said they were going to do. And when that doesn't happen and you have to come up with a couple $1 million out of your pocket to clean it up that you didn't plan on, that's very concerning.
Pat, do you think that this issue is personal? Because the reason I ask that, it would appear to me that if we go by what you've told us, that the city is going to be making tax dollars, $500,000 that it hadn't been, and that the deal seemed to be done, and it's going to create jobs, and it's going to be a great development for the city. Do you think that the dragging of the feet is personal?
I think some of it probably is. I would have no doubt about that, yeah.
Why?
Well, I don't think that they understand the full picture. You know, that project labor agreement is a really big thing for some of these council members. I'm a local developer, born and raised here. We're never leaving. We've committed our company for the next 10 years to do as much as we can in Lansing and hire local people. If I was doing a corporate headquarters or a, you know, state office building or a parking deck on the river, the project labor agreement would be a very easy thing for me to do. Lansing's deemed, hey, we want housing on the river. We don't have enough housing downtown, so that's what we chose to do. And putting a PLA on it is financially unfeasible to do a project like that. So I don't think they liked hearing that and said, well, we'll show you that it is, and we're, you know, we'll just make this uncomfortable for you, and to the point where you end up doing that. And I, you know, as much as I would like to, it's not financially feasible to do a project, a residential project like that. So I don't think they liked hearing that. So it's, you know, feeling the wrath of not following that mandate, I guess.
You're listening to the Tony Connelly Morning Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com. We're talking with Pat Gillespie from the Gillespie Group about the Marketplace Development deal. Pat, as you have stated many times on this program, you had hoped to hire between 40 and 60%, if not more, union labor. And I have talked with two different unions, and they had told me that that would be satisfactory. They just would like an opportunity to sit down with you. You said you'd like to sit down with them. After listening to all the dialogue from all the different people involved in this, I just get a sense that it's trying to be dictated to you how much of a profit you could make, as opposed to letting you and everyone involved just work the deal out.
That's what is confusing a lot of the business community in this area, is at what point did councils and municipalities start to say, here's what you have to pay, here's how you have to do it, and if you want to do it a different way, then go elsewhere. That's the concerning part. Yeah, your read is exactly right.
And I want to ask you about using non-union workers. As I just said, you'd like to use at least 40 to 60% union workers. That's what you can afford to do this deal with.
That's what we would like to do. You know, we have not bid out the project, but I mean, we would like to set a goal of using a good amount of them.
When you use non-union workers, are they as qualified? Is the work they do is as safe as using union workers?
I don't know. The house you live in and a lot of the things that are built in this town, 70% of the construction workforce in this town is non-union. So there's the lion's share of people that do construction here are non-union contractors, and they do concrete, and they do roofs, and they do asphalt, and they do steel and framings. I mean, a local worker to me is a local worker, and we're going to focus on local rather than an affiliation with a union or not. So there's a lot of quality people that can do with jobs here in Lansing, and we're not going to be restrictive about who can and cannot do stuff.
Finally, Pat, the city has until 5 p.m. on Monday to try and appeal the court's decision. What's your take on that? Should the city decide to sue and to take this to court, what will your reaction be? What will you do?
Well, we'd be obviously disappointed that the city would turn down, you know, millions of dollars in new taxes to the to that property that they've never seen, and then the jobs, and then, you know, most importantly, the number of people that it would bring to live there and support the market and to keep the momentum growing that's happening in Lansing. If it doesn't go, it's a parking lot, and it's a piece of black asphalt on the river where cities like Columbus and Chicago, Minneapolis, Indianapolis are doing all kinds of things with the riverfront. That would be a pretty big statement to say we choose not to participate in the proactive growth that's going on in these other Midwestern cities. We'd rather sit and watch the parking lot.
All right, Pat. Thanks so much for your time. Hopefully things will work out. We will stay in touch. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Tony. Bye.